We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And now, Chuck and Winkler, two townies talking Wisconsin sports, covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. We'll talk some Hall of Fame. Pete Doherty in that room. PackersNews.com. He was there when Jerry Kramer got in. He's been there when all these Packers have got in. Now we got to get Leroy Butler in. We'll talk to him about that coming up in about 15 minutes. Do want to continue to talk about the NBA with you guys. There's a trade going down overnight. 5-6 players involved in the deal, but the main draw is that Tobias Harris, the former Buck, goes from the Clippers to the Sixers, and then the Clippers, they did it to get a couple of picks. Clippers are 30-25, so they're like in the thick of the playoff race. They're at the 8th seed right now in the West, but they're thinking move some money and get some of these max guys. Maybe they can get Kawhi, maybe they can get AD, whatever. That's what they're looking
They're thinking long term. They're not thinking this year. They just kind of punted on the rest of the season. They don't think as the 8th or 7th seed, they have no shot, okay?
That's I like Lou Williams and Tobias Harris as much as the next guy, but
hey, but if I was the Bucks and we were sitting in the 7th or 8th seed and 30-25 and you had a chance to get better next year, I mean much better, I'd do the same thing. That's a smart move. That's Jerry West right there looking long term.
Well, and that's what some Bucks fans are discussing or were discussing with this Anthony Davis thing. Do you make a trade and sacrifice this year for the future?
Oh, but that's see, I think there's a huge difference. You're talking 8th or 7th seed as opposed to 39-13 in the number 1 seed. That would be a tough sacrifice, man. Cuz you finally have been good and actually you've been great. You can't sacrifice that. And who knows? If you got Anthony Davis, no guarantee you're going to put some necessary pieces around both of those guys.
Right, a trade. I mean, the Bucks, if they were going to get Davis, they would have to give up. I mean, you got a lot of expiring deals here, so you're going to have to give up everyone: Bledsoe, Brogdon, Middleton, Thon, you know, DiVincenzo, all these guys, and it wouldn't be worth it. This year, when the Bucks go into this trade deadline, I don't want them to tinker too much with the main core. You've got, I mean, yeah, Tobias and Jimmy Butler and Embiid and Simmons is a good four. I like the Bucks four. I like let's make it five: Brogdon and Lopez and Bledsoe and Middleton and Giannis. I think you got to like that if you're a Bucks fan. So when you look at the next 24, 30 hours here, what do? You could move Thon Maker. You could move Jason Smith again by tomorrow, contract wise. You could end up moving George Hill. So you've got some expiring contracts that could be attracted to somebody. I would like them to go get one of these other expiring contracts, as we talked with Matt Velasquez, whether it's Wayne Ellington, whether it's Dwayne Dedman, whether it's Nikola Mirotic with the Pelicans. Mirotic, of course, used to play for the Bulls. Bucks have been interested in him for a while. He's making about 12.5, so you would have to work it out contract-wise, just playing around with the trade machine. Oh, if you're going to try to trade Thon Maker for Nikola Mirotic, you can't straight up because of the money. Thon's making 2.7. Nikola's making 12.5. Let's throw in Jason Smith, and they're not going to let me do this trade until tomorrow. So that is
okay.
That burned the same.
Hold on,
thanks,
second.
Machine.
Now here, this Tobias Harris move. Okay, I think some Bucks fans are looking at it like, how come Philadelphia can get on something like that, but the Bucks couldn't get on a Tobias Harris move? Philly goes and makes a blockbuster move and improves an already good team. Were the Bucks in on that one at all? I mean, just because they traded Harris one time, I mean, they couldn't have brought the guy back on a different regime at a different day in Milwaukee.
Philly also had what the Bucks don't, and that's attractive first-round picks.
Which the Bucks already gave one up for George Hill.
The Bucks have given up first-round picks for the last, you know, 10 years.
Yeah.
And Philly was able to do that because they had some attractive picks. Talking NBA trades, Jeff Zilga joins us. NBA reporter for USA Today joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Jeff, thanks for a few minutes. How you doing?
Hi, Jeff.
I'm good. How you guys doing this morning?
We're doing good. We're just looking at this trade here that the Sixers and Clippers. It really is a trade, I think, that benefits both teams. I mean, both teams, I think, made out good in this move.
I agree. Now I'm going to have to dig into it a little deeper. On its face, I was surprised the Sixers did give up Landry Shamet. They really liked him, and he's been really good for them this year, considering where they picked. But I think the larger point that I did to hear all of your guys' talk on this is that the Sixers obviously are going for it in a couple different ways. Not only this season to try to make a push for a deep playoff run, but there is belief within that organization that there is a financial path to re-sign both Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris, plus deal with the contracts of Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons when they need extensions or new deals. And then obviously they still think they can keep J.J. Redick again. So, you know, this is a team that wants to make a push this year, but they're also looking for the future as well, considering, you know, they think there's going to be shakeups around the league.
Jeff, in terms of 2019, the season we're in right now, this gives their starting lineup, I mean, they can score, and that's going to be huge for them, obviously, come playoff time. The depth maybe could be in question a little bit in the bench. Where does it put them in terms of the top four in the East right now with Milwaukee, Toronto, and Boston? Because I've sort of been writing off the Sixers as a Bucks guy, but this changes things. I mean, Tobias Harris is a good player. Where do you look at the top four teams right now?
I thought Tobias should have been an All-Star this year. I'm not quite sure what the coaches were thinking there. I understand you have to take a guy off the list, so I get that point as well. He's having every bit of the season that LaMarcus Aldridge is having, let's put it that way. Look, I think they're a little bit better than Boston right now. Boston has struggled to figure it out this year for whatever reason that it is. Maybe they thought it would come easier to them. But if Tobias, you know, meshes with these guys, you mentioned the starting five is going to be really good. You know, the one thing they did rely on last year, and I don't know if you guys saw much of this, is that they were successful in the buyout market when they got Ersan Ilyasova and Marco Belinelli. Those guys were really helpful to the Sixers. And those are the kind of guys that they would like to get again in the buyout market. I know they've been using Corey Brewer on some 10-day deals. That's the kind of veteran that they do like. They are going to have to somehow bolster that bench. But, you know, let's say Wesley Matthews becomes available in the buyout market. Are the Sixers a team he would like to play for? You know, so that's what you're going to have to watch with this Sixers team. But they certainly did go for it. And outside of Shamet, the draft picks, you know, they didn't have to give up too much of their current roster.
When you hear Anthony Davis and the Bucks are one of four teams that he would assign an extension with, is that even real? Is that even reality?
I think it's real that he would love to play with Giannis Antetokounmpo. I completely believe that. If you're looking at the landscape of today's NBA, who goes to the finals? Who wins championships? You almost, look, you guys know this, except for what, maybe those Pistons teams of the 2000s that didn't have, you know, a true superstar. You know, they had Ben Wallace, they had Chauncey Billups. But you need at least two superstars next to each other to win a championship in this league. And so that's what I'm thinking now from the Bucks' point of view. I just don't see, you know, I talk about financial paths and assets. I just don't know if they have everything at their disposal to make an offer that is better than anything else that the Lakers or the Celtics would be able to offer, and that's the one holdup. So I guess the one interesting thing, if you're a Bucks fan or you know, follow the Bucks a lot, is that it's nice to see that another superstar would love to team up with Giannis. That's the takeaway here. But practically speaking, I think it's going to be real difficult for the Bucks to even, you know, contemplate pulling something like that off, given the construction of their roster, their salaries, and the pieces they would have to trade.
Talking with Jeff Zilgit, USA Today NBA reporter, here on The Fan, Chuck and Winkler. As far as needing two superstars, would you consider Chris Middleton in that area? And if he is going to require the max, is that a move the Bucks should make?
Look, sometimes whether or not a guy deserves the max or not, sometimes you have to pay the guy the max. I always go back and look at the Washington Wizards when they had to give Otto Porter his max deal. You're not going to be able to go out and get another Chris Middleton. He's an all-star. Do I think he's a superstar? You know, he's not at the LeBron, Giannis, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry level. But is he right there alongside like a guy like Jimmy Butler, who the Sixers are going to offer a lot of money to this summer? I completely believe that. He's a two-way player. He has room to get better. And if you lose Chris Middleton in, you know, some kind of free agency, who do you replace him with? And I think that's what it comes down to. And look, I'm going to give this Bucks front office credit. They've had a plan. They've generally tried to stick to it and execute it. And again, I keep using that phrase, financial path. You know, I do believe that they have, you know, the resources to re-sign Chris Middleton, and they should.
You see any buyout guys who are out there? Any guys who are going to be maybe dealt here in the next day and maybe will be guys will be bought out of contracts, and maybe that's a guy a Bucks sign.
Well, look, if you're looking at someone who could defend and give you some three, a guy like what I mentioned, Wesley Matthews, mm-hmm. I mean, if the Knicks do buy him out, he's going to be sought after. The Knicks don't want to win, and so why are they going to put DeAndre Jordan on the court? Now, I'm not saying that's someone the Bucks should go after, but you know, there's another guy who's going to be in the buyout market. I wish that this guy is not necessarily the buyout market because he's been waived, but I really wish that Carmelo Anthony would adjust his game just a little bit and accept a different role, because when I talk to coaches and executives around the league, they still believe that there's a place for Carmelo Anthony in today's NBA, but it comes with the caveat of, can he be a role player off the bench? The guy could certainly score. If you have a bench that doesn't have a lot of scoring, and you're going to put Carmelo Anthony against someone else's second unit, there's a guy who could go get you some buckets. And this isn't going to happen for you guys, but it wouldn't surprise me if Jabari Parker somehow ended up on someone's waiver wire and is bought out by the Bulls as well. There's just no use for him there right now.
Jeff Zilgit, USA Today. What do you think the most likely scenario is for Anthony Davis, whether it's getting traded on Thursday, whether it's playing out the season, getting traded in the offseason? How do you think that's going to get resolved?
I don't think it's going to get resolved by Thursday, and so I think it's going to be an offseason move. I think they want to see which teams end up giving the best offer. Right now, you know, for reasons that get a little complicated, the Celtics cannot trade for him until Kyrie Irving becomes a free agent, so that's number one. They also need to look, just for practical purposes, they need to see who gets the number one overall pick. And if it's indeed the New York Knicks and they have a chance to get Zion Williamson and the Knicks want to trade for Anthony Davis, that's something that the Pelicans should take a look at as well. And so I think they want to see all the best offers, not just what the Lakers can offer. And again, from that Pelicans front office and ownership, there is some hesitancy just to send him to the Lakers because that's where he wants to go. So I can't guarantee you it is going to be the Lakers.
It's going to be interesting. Jeff, we appreciate a few minutes, and we'll be in touch in the future.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yep, thank you, guys.
Jeff Zilgit, you can follow him on Twitter at Jeff Zilgit, Zillgitt. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Switching gears just a little bit, do want to kind of recap everything that happened with the Hall of Fame this week, and specifically Leroy's case for it, as you saw Ed Reed and some of these safeties starting to get in there. There seems to be more of a willingness to do that. So we'll talk to Pete Doherty, who's got a vote in that room. We'll talk to him coming up next here, Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. Chuck, a lot of people agreed with you on something today. How about that?
Well, not surprising. There should be more of that.
We were talking about Bard's Breakfast Bonanza earlier, and the three eggs, four pancakes, four slices of bacon, or the sausage and the crispy hash browns that you can get at Perkins right now anywhere in southeast Wisconsin, the Perkins locations, for $6.99. Just $6.99. You said attack the pancakes first.
I would look at that as the appetizer. The pancakes.
Okay.
So eat the pancakes first as the appetizer. Mm. chow those things down and then get to the rest of the main course.
Mm-hmm. And people have agreed with you wholeheartedly. Yep. So well done, Chuck. People.
Although, no maple syrup, just strictly butter and the pancakes. That's how he does.
Here's a joke I've said before, but I'm going to reuse it. People enjoy Chuck's hot takes on hot cakes.
There we go. Just to win some people over time to time. I am hungry, though, today.
Well, Perkins.
Oh, am I starved. I got to get a workout in today.
Yeah.
Little gluten-free workout. And then...
Gluten-free workout.
No.
Interesting.
Got to have a gluten-free day.
Okay. Well, all right. I'm still going to send everyone to Perkins. 3 eggs, 4 pancakes, 4 slices of bacon, and the crispy hash browns.
I don't know if pancakes are gluten-free. I don't know.
I think they have gluten in them.
Oh, I don't know.
You can have a gluten-free pancake.
I don't know. I always check like the... I go to the internet to check all this stuff out before I eat it.
Oh. This meal is more designed for people that are just hungry.
Well, yeah, I'm hungry right now. So I'm starved.
Somebody tweeted at me and said, you talk about that breakfast. I'm going to go get it, but I'm going to save it until I'm completely hungover. It sounds like a good hangover meal.
Oh.
It is, though.
No. So buy it and then save it in your house, in your refrigerator?
That's in no way what I meant.
No. So in other words, go there.
Wait until you're hungover.
The next morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perkins, 3 eggs, 4 pancakes, 4 slices of bacon, and the crispy hash browns, $6.99 at Perkins. You're this song.
Yeah, he said it's one of the worst songs ever.
It's not that good.
Well,
all right. Pete Doherty joins us, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette, on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. We're stuck with it now, Pete. I know the song's not great, but
hey, Pete,
it's got your name in
it. Yeah,
so.
I love Bruce, but there's 2 songs that are kind of unlistenable by him for me. One's that, and the other one's the one about the girl in the supermarket, queen of the supermarket, or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that one a couple of times. I'm just not a big Thunder. I'm not a big Thunder Road guy. Bart, you?
Yeah,
I like that one.
Oh, Pete, it just kills me. It is hilarious.
All right. The Hall of Fame. You were at the Hall of Fame voting. I take it again on Saturday.
Yes.
And you know, you guys got in that room. You guys get there really early in the morning, and you guys preside over that stuff for like 7-8 hours. I feel like, and. Somehow, Leroy Butler, again, is he getting closer? I saw in your piece he's getting closer to getting in the Hall of Fame. Is that true?
Yeah, no, I think so. But so it doesn't – the way it works is in the summer we get a list of – it's usually a little over 100 guys who are Hall of Fame eligible who have been nominated in one way or another. We vote for 25. The 25 guys who get the most – go on to the, they're called semifinalists, and Leroy made the semifinals this year, second year in a row. And in December, we pick 15, and the 15, there's 48 voters, you know, each send in a ballot, and the 15 who get the most votes are finalists. So Leroy has not made that step yet. So when we get to the Super Bowl, the day before the Super Bowl, all we talk about is the 15 finalists. So he's not discussed because he's not even on the ballot. But I think there's a, you know, it's still uphill, but I think there's the chances are growing because you get the feeling that Steve Atwater has a pretty decent chance of getting in. He was, the discussion, the vibe on him was pretty good this year. He didn't make the final five. Again, we keep knocking it down till five, then you vote up or down on the final five. But if Atwater gets in, then Leroy's argument starts getting, you know, really strong, because the biggest thing Atwater has going for him is he was first team all decade of the 90s. And he's the only guy from either offense or defense who's first team all decade who's not in the Hall of Fame. Boselli was second team, and he's not in. Well, Leroy is the other first team safety. So that would really enhance his chances if Atwater gets in. I'm not saying it's a slam dunk or anything like that, because there's a lot of guys, I could run through a list of 10 or 15 guys easily who, you know, have legitimate arguments. But
Atwater gets in, and you know, maybe next year, then things start getting a lot more serious for Leroy.
The longest time, Pete Doherty, it seemed like for whatever reason, safeties just were kind of being forgotten. You got Ed Reed that got in. Was that pretty easy for whoever pitched Ed Reed? That was that a pretty quick one, and then that would sort of signal that okay, safeties, we you know that's an important position. We probably shouldn't forget about these guys.
Yeah, that's even come up in the last. It didn't come up in this year's meetings, but last year there was a discussion about, you know, this seems to be really neglecting the safeties, and I think there's been four in the last 3 years now because Johnny Robinson, another safety, went in. He was on the seniors committee this year. Yeah, the Ed Reed presentation discussion was 2 minutes, which is really short. They're usually at least, you know, 8 or 10 minutes minimum, and like Terrell Owens, I think might have been an hour. You know, the most controversial one. So that was really short. The presentation was quick. There was no discussion. It was just, yeah, obviously this guy's getting in, and kind of left it at that.
When T.O. didn't show up at the Hall of Fame ceremony, did that like bother everybody in your room?
You know, nobody talked about it this year. Last year at the vote, you know, that the ceremony wasn't for 6 months or several months, so nobody knew at that time. I did see tweets from a couple voters who expressed dissatisfaction that he didn't show up. I mean, I don't care one way or another, and I don't think a guy should have to show up to be eligible for induction. There shouldn't be any rule against that. He has no idea what he missed out on. They treat these guys like kings. I mean, the most important people walking the planet. He just missed out on. They're there like a week, I think, or close to a week, and it's just they're treated better than anybody on the planet. But really, for a year, from what I've noticed, with Ron Wolf and Kramer. These guys are on top of the world for a year, and wherever they go, but especially in Canton, Owens has no idea what a great thing he missed out on. So I just, you know, I think that was his mistake. And even I remember thinking that before, and then I saw Tony Dungy say that when they asked him about that, and that's almost exactly what he said. So it's just too bad for Owens that he didn't go because he has no idea what he missed out on.
It just seems a little disrespectful. You vote the guy in, and he wonders why he couldn't get a job again late in his career. Well, I mean, it's stuff like that I just look at with T.O. But Charles Woodson, first ballot Hall of Famer coming up in 2021?
Oh, he's got to be, yeah. I mean, with the interceptions and a defensive player of the year, and he was a difference maker for a long stretch. After he retired, just you could tell from all the stories you'd read, he's got to be that'll be a short discussion too, I'm sure.
Pete Doherty, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette, joining us, Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Pete, we're so like starved for, you know, Packer news and to try to figure out how this LaFleur Rodgers thing is going to go and all this stuff that like we're trying to get JerMichael Finley and Greg Jennings and talking to all these, just anybody that can tell us anything. When it comes to the Packers coming up in this offseason, they have. There's going to be a lot of questions regarding the Nick Perrys and the Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, Bulaga. Which direction do you see them going on a few of these guys? Who do you think, and Jimmy Graham, guys that have their future up in the air, who do you see returning? Who do you see not returning?
Okay, so this is just speculation.
Just the Pete Doherty think tank is what I'm looking at.
Right. I don't have any inside information on any of this stuff.
No.
I thought they'd cut Graham, and from Ian Rappaport's report, they're not going to, so I'm wrong there. Bulaga, if I just absolutely, it's a tougher call. If I absolutely had to guess, I'd probably guess they move on there, but, you know, that could go either way, but I would guess that they move on. I don't think Cobb's back. I feel relatively confident in that, but, you know, you never know. Matthews is a tough call, you know, because Cobb is a re-sign, so his contract's up. Same with Matthews. If he's willing to play inside linebacker, I'm thinking that they could, if I'm them, I'd try to re-sign him for, you know, $5 or $6 million a year. My guess is he's going to try to go somewhere where they'll use him as a part-time outside rusher. And if possible, he probably wants to get back towards the West Coast. My guess is he's not back. Perry, that strikes me as a no-brainer. You just got to move on there. I mean, he just misses too many games. He's never played 16, and, he's missed a lot of games. And then when he's hurt, he's just not close to the same guy even when he plays through it. I mean, he's a tough guy, but he just hurt too much. So that strikes me as a no-brainer to move on from him, and that's the guys I – am I missing somebody there?
No, you pretty much covered it. You know, I was going to ask you, Clay, you said about moving inside. Has there been talk, you think, in the organization that Clay, we want him inside?
Heard. Not that I've heard, but, I thought he's had a greater impact a little later. When he moved there at 14, that kind of turned that defense around a little bit. So I think he has a better, greater impact when he plays in there. You can always move him around if you want, but I have not heard that the team is talked or thinking about that, though. I have not heard that, no.
What are your initial impressions on Matt LaFleur? I mean, is he the right hire, do you think? And then how do you think this is going to work with Aaron?
You know, just observing him at the press conference, and then we had a writer's kind of round table with him right after that. That's the only time I've talked to him. I've heard a couple radio interviews. He's a low-key guy, as far as his personality. And when you're speaking to him, I could see him from the story Ryan Wood did where he went and visited Mount Pleasant and talked with friends and family. You know, you can see that there's probably a real intense streak in him when he gets on the field and competes. I wonder if he's going to be a little on the boring side publicly, really play things close to the vest. That would be my guess. I'm sure he's really ambitious, or he wouldn't have gotten this job so at such a young age, 39. Can he coach? I really don't know. Will he be a good coach? I just don't know. He's taken over. These jobs are so big, and I don't think anybody really knows what they're walking into if they've never done it before. But especially a guy, in his later 30s or early 40s, these younger guys. It is a huge job, and he'll have to grow really fast. And, the rest of it, can he connect with Rodgers? He's young, and, there's an energy there from talking to people in the building with all the young coaching staff and with the young head coach. There's an energy there. There'll also be some inexperience. And so I have no idea how your guess is as good as mine on how he's going to do.
All right, if Mark Murphy did not select Matt LaFleur, LaFleur did not bowl him over, and it sounds like to Murphy that there was no candidates who really did that to him. What would he have done? What direction would Murphy have gone? Who would he have hired if LaFleur didn't stumble on?
Yeah. So from what I've heard, they would have, and I think Murphy even said this at the press. Did he say this at the press conference that they would have brought back guys for a second interview, two or three guys? And my guess is it would have been McDaniels, Gase, and maybe Munkin, or maybe the. Campbell, the tight ends coach from New Orleans, maybe three of those four guys with McDaniels and Gase probably being really likely to get a second interview, and then probably just picked whoever he liked best out of the second interviews.
Well, we'll see if Matt LaFleur is the right guy. We will talk to you again, Pete, when this offseason starts to develop. We appreciate the insight. Have a good rest of the week, man.
Thanks, Pete.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for having me, guys.
Outlaw Pete, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Yeah, I mean, I like the refrain in that song, the chorus of that song, Outlaw Pete. It's a long song, but I asked you before when I said we were talking about the worst Springsteen songs. What was yours?
I think that's a trick question, Chuck.
There is no bad songs, you're going to say. Mm-hmm. But usually, like every artist... Even like REO Speedwagon to me. There's a song, like, if they do it, I just can't stand it.
I'm in sports media. I love Bruce Springsteen. It's a requirement.
Okay.
Yep. All songs are...
Waste the time of asking you the question.
Really a waste. Okay. We should have planned that
Everybody's got to... Even the guys who are the biggest Springsteen fans would say, God, the song of his I just don't like.
Nope. Love them all.
Okay.
Pete, join us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
There's a real different type of chemistry amongst the Milwaukee Bucks than, now I've only been in Portland besides here, and I thought we had pretty good chemistry there. I think it's even more different here, and I think that's what attracts people and players to be intrigued about this. And I think, to Steve's point, you don't often hear superstars mention a small market team that they want to go to in free agency when it's surrounded by the likes of New York, L.A., Boston, Miami, wherever it may be. And I think that is a real compliment to what the organization is doing, what we're doing as a team, how we're doing it, and the hopeful continued success that is in the future.
That's Pat Connaughton, who plays like once every 3 weeks for the Milwaukee Bucks. He was with Steve Novak, Bill Michaels last night on the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. You can find the full podcast, by the way, 1057fmthefan.com. Click on Fan On Demand, presented by John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield.
Did you know that a couple weeks ago, when they wanted him to go in the game, he still had his street clothes on under his warm-ups?
He did?
Yeah.
Is that a joke?
Yes, Bart, it's a joke.
I couldn't tell. I thought that was real.
See, now you know. When you tell a joke sometimes, I don't know. See, now you know. There you go. Yes, it was a joke. You know, it was happened in a Happy Days episode one time.
Oh.
I think it was Ralph Malph was going to go into the game, or Potsy, or one of them. And the referee called him to go in the game, or not referee, the coach called him to go in the game, and he had his clothes on underneath his warm-ups, and he goes, what, I never play.
You got to work on your delivery.
Oh, okay.
You got to say, a couple weeks ago against the Thunder, they wanted him to go into the game. He still had his street clothes on under his warm-ups.
Oh. So is that why I understand your jokes?
Yeah, well, you just said a joke there. You presented it as a fact, and keep in mind, you never say jokes, so I was really confused.
I say jokes all the time. I do. Yes. Chuck the Jokester, they call me.
Oh, yeah. Now that's funny. Pat Connaughton last night on the Milwaukee Basketball Hour, again with Bill and Steve Novak. Now, the Bucks have only lost 13 times, and they don't lose back-to-back games. And Malcolm Brogdon said this a couple of weeks ago. They're mad when they lose. They don't understand how they lost. They expect to win every single game they play, and that's something that Connaughton echoed last night.
When we're playing our best basketball, I think we've shown it throughout the year, there's no one that can beat us. I think there are times where maybe we miss some shots here or there, or we come out a little sluggish and coach gets on us and we bounce back, and you still have to do something in order to beat us. That New York game, the Phoenix game, where, I mean, Chris hit a buzzer beater, it was just a tenth of a second too late. Those are games that we felt like we may have beat ourselves to get it to a point where we had a chance to lose, but they still did something that they had to come out and do something different that those teams haven't done in a while. I mean, Manuel Mudiay hits a double clutch 3-pointer to tie the game before it goes into overtime. He's my draft class. I'm rooting for him every day besides when he plays the Bucks, but I haven't seen him do that since, and I've been in the league 4 years with him.
Oh, Pat Connaughton brought up the Suns loss.
Yeah. Oh, geez. God forget that.
We can't be doing that.
We kind of moved on from that. What surprised me about the Bucks is they're like a great college team that goes out and pounds everybody else in their conference, non-conference. They do. I mean, look at these games on this road trip. Mm-hmm. Detroit hammered them, put it away in the fourth quarter. Third quarter, the other night, third quarter, put it away.
They're a good team.
They're a great team.
They're an elite team.
They are.
The problem with the playoffs, Ram brought this up earlier. Great conversation, by the way. That was really escalating to the top of the mountain there.
Which what, you and I?
Yeah.
How's that?
Whatever we just did.
Yeah.
They're great. They're good. They're elite. Yep.
They are. Well, I mean, okay, I saw you were on Brew Hoop or something the other day, and you were on with two other guys talking about how the media covers the Bucks.
Oh, you watched that? Or you read that?
I read that. Yes, I did. I think one of the guys there didn't think the Bucks were covered well enough or whatever like that compared to other years.
Oh, no, that would be every fan ever.
They are, though. We just done 4 hours on the Bucks today. 3:45. We just took a timeout for the Packers a little bit.
Yeah, well, that was too much.
Yeah, that was apparently. But
that's what we get the tweets on.
So, okay. Back to what we were, we've gone like five different directions here in the last 2 minutes. I think we're ready for to hand it off the bill pretty soon.
Yeah, I some days I could go 6 hours. I ran out of steam.
You know what? I had a lot of steam today.
I did too. We burned it up.
I think it's just like coming to an end. It is. It's just coming. I mean, winding end. But I mean, you know, this thing.
Let's not fake it. I ran out of steam.
I am. I got to get a workout in today. I want to get a little nap in. Head to the Bucks and Bullets tonight, and watch another blowout.
Once I missed your joke, I thought, oh boy, I'm done.
Yeah, we're.
I got nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 9:46.
I ran out of steam. That's why we've got Ryan Horvath in here. He'll be next. He'll
tell us what we need to get steamed up about.
Yeah, he can go over everything we missed today. If he just wants to do 10 minutes on his own, that's fine. Although I do have to tell you about Sherry's Berries, because you guys need a Valentine's Day gift, and you will be procrastinating as you are all the time. It happens every year. This is why we talk about it so early, and it is still early. It's 8 days away, so that's enough time to order something, have it arrive, present it well. It's not always, and this is a great gift, the Sherry's Berries. The berries are juicy. They're delicious. They're covered in the chocolate with the sprinkles. It's a lot of the thought, too. The thought of, hey, I remembered. I planned early. I thought of you. Every day is Valentine's Day to me, honey. That is important. And then it's also important that you show her that with the gift. Because if you put thought into, like, just a store-bought teddy bear that's missing an eyeball, I mean, you get a little thought there, but then the gift's bad. Do both. Have the thought, get the gift now, and then make sure it's a good gift with Sherry's Berries. The berries are delicious. You can do the flower combo, too. Valentine's Day is next Thursday, so send her the Valentine's gift of her dreams at the price of your dreams. Starts at just $19.99 for the berries, plus shipping and handling. And if you order now, make this Valentine's Day really special. Add a dozen red roses for just $19.99 more. Ship with your Sherry's Berries at no extra charge. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone, enter the code Winkler at checkout. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone, enter the code Winkler, and order today. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. Let's go, baby. This engine ain't stopping. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Ryan Horvath. What do we miss today, buddy?
Oh, yeah, Horvy.
Eagles quarterback Nick Foles informs the team he's voiding his $20 million option for 2019 after they had notified him they're going to be picking up the option. So now he pretty much pays the Eagles $2 million to opt out. And that move paves the way for the Eagles to place the franchise tag on Foles. They're expected to do so in an effort to try to trade him. So it's looking like Nick Foles will no longer be an Eagle.
How about that? Foles, a couple of years ago, he'd been tripping over himself if they would have picked up a $20 million option on him. And now he says he's too good for Philadelphia, and he's going to go out in the free agent market.
Do you guys think Philadelphia is making a big mistake? I know Wentz is the better quarterback, but I mean, all this stuff coming out, he's like, I could be a better person, better teammate, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, he's the more talented, but that team just rallies around Nick Foles.
Yeah. I mean, Wentz, you said it. You know, Wentz is more talented, but they win under Foles. But you invested a first-round pick on Wentz. He can't stay healthy, but you still got to ride that guy out.
That's sunk cost theory.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, you're looking at what you invested. You got to look at what you're going to get in the future.
Yeah.
And Foles got you the Super Bowl. Will he get you one again? I mean, if Wentz is the better quarterback, you got to think that he's more likely to get you one than Foles is.
Yeah, I still think the upside with Wentz is still, we haven't seen it yet.
So go with Wentz.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going with Wentz too. It's just an interesting topic.
Wentz. I'm sure they do it in Philadelphia all the time.
So the likely scenarios are the most likely for Foles at this point, if he's going to get traded, would be the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
Jaguars.
I always say Jaguar. I've been saying it wrong. Huh?
Just say the Jags.
Don't. People will.
Jaguar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want the.
If you ever like are feeling like, hey, I'm talking and there's nobody listening, mispronounce a football team wrong.
Call
say Falcons.
New Orleans Jaguars.
Yeah, say New Orleans.
Yeah. New Orleans.
Yeah.
New Orleans.
Someone was tweeting me the other day. It says I pronounce my R's weird. Like I say, Badgers.
Yeah, I don't know.
Packers.
I haven't noticed.
Do I do that?
Don't
know. Well, the Badgers walked to Michigan bad.
Don't. I haven't noticed.
Like that? Pay attention to that for me?
I had Tim Allen on me. No more slang. He wants me to like really emphasize everything that I say. Because sometimes, you know, you're talking, I'll say like ma instead of mom or something like that. I got to wipe that out.
You got to talk the lingo of the people.
Yeah, so he's got...
Just because we're broadcasters don't mean we ain't no better.
Allen is on you?
Oh, man, he's been on me since last summer.
Yeah. Is he really?
I worked with him every single day.
Well, Tim's it got only makes you a better broadcast.
Yeah, right. Tim is...
Allen.
This station wouldn't exist without Tim Allen.
No.
I like a little tough love anyway, Chuck.
Ooh, he's the franchise.
If Tim wasn't around, yeah, pretty easy.
You know what people say? I'm tough on the young guys.
No, you bury them.
I don't, though. I don't. I've put over many guys.
You have, actually.
Rhodes. Cody Rhodes, I put him over.
You have. You have. Now he's over at AEW, I believe, right?
He's wrestling. Madison somewhere.
Yeah. Hey, do you guys know what happened
Broncos are the other team with the chance to trade. Jaguars.
Oh, okay.
Broncos.
I thought you were saying that you were saying Broncos wrong. I was like, I think you got that.
No.
You guys know what happened on February 6, 2011? On this date, 2011.
I do. My second wife was teeing up for me for a divorce, probably.
I would say the Packers won the Super Bowl.
Early stages of it.
Well, I think both are actually correct. Chuck was going through a divorce.
No, I wasn't, but she was probably planning it.
She was probably planning more than just a divorce.
Yeah.
The murder of Chuck Freeman.
No, I don't know if she was going that far, but she definitely probably allotted me out of the picture.
Here's something I wanted to touch on. Maybe we could get on this into later base. Did you guys see any of the Patriots Super Bowl celebration yesterday?
I saw some of Gronk drinking wine.
Okay, so here's the thing. So Gronk is chugging a bottle of red wine, then he switches over to beer, and then he's shirtless. He's grabbing girls. And granted, it's his girlfriend.
He grabbed his girlfriend's chest.
But 3 years ago, didn't Ezekiel Elliott do the same thing and serve a suspension pretty much for it? He was like handing out beads, and we made this big deal about player, off the field stuff. Why does Gronk get a free pass?
Oh, I could tell you.
Why?
To be continued.
Huh?
It's what we call a tease in the industry.
Why do you say Gronk?
I feel like he could literally kill a man and we'd just be like, oh, that's just Gronk being Gronk.
Yeah. Well,
guys
I don't know.
Like Gronk can get away with things that guys like Zeke can't.
What? Like, wow. Oh. If you're bringing in the white-black thing, right?
I'm not even bringing that up. I'm saying Gronk could literally...
Yes.
Okay.
Me? Yeah, well, yeah.
Let's say Clay Matthews
I don't
is
think that has nothing to do with it, Bart.
Pounding booze.
Okay, why isn't Geronimo Allison a cult figure and Jeff Janis was?
Well, that's the Great White Hope thing. But that goes
that
on forever.
White in the title.
But that, yes. With that, yes. But we're talking about criminal here. No.
I'm just saying, like, even if... Chuck, you're loved throughout the state of Wisconsin and at the station. I mean, our program director, everybody has faith in you. But if you go out at a parade and you're pounding booze, handing out beads... I'm sure you would have to face a little backlash, right? I feel like Gronk gets a free pass.
I think if I did something like what Gronk did, yeah.
Like, let's say you get in a hot tub after the Super Bowl about 10 minutes later and you start pounding some White Claws.
If I would have had a picture of Shannon in there naked, I would have probably gotten in trouble.
Lakers got beat by 42 points last night. LeBron's biggest loss.
If she would have been
career.
In the video naked, I probably would be not sitting here today.
Ryan Horvath will be in on the postgame show tonight, the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show.
I can always try to see if I can get in trouble for that.
Presented by Palermo's Pizza. Bucks Wizards tonight. You excited for that one, boys?
Yeah.
ESPN.
Yeah.
TV.
Jay Billis is doing the game.
Yeah, and who else?
Doris Burke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
Should
tonight.
Be fun.
Bucks finally getting the credit they deserve, and all you guys are going to watch it on Fox Sports Wisconsin anyway.
Why not? Want to hear the hometown guys. That's all I
never
care.
Never satisfied.
Is it going to be on hometown?
Yeah.
Okay. And ESPN, yep.
Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.